Okay, welcome. We're going to start now Simen Tzadiches, Sif Aleph, and Hilchos Taruvos. Iser Shenisarev Behater Min B'Shein Omino. Iser, they got mixed up with Hater. Min B'Shein Omino, two different kinds of taste, we're going to say. Kagon, chaylev. How do I know it's chaylev? The Taz, aleph. Okay, these shach also aleph says chaylev shnisar v'basar yitamenu ovid kochavim. So a non-Jew should taste it. Im omer she'ein bo tam chaylev. If he says that there is no taste of chaylev. O she'omer she'esh bo tam, or he says that there is a taste of chaylev, ela shehu pagum, but it doesn't taste good. Mutter, the food, the taruvis, any mixture that's put together is called a taruvis, is mutter. V'ushelo yeh sofo l'shbiach. And it should not be that later on it becomes tasting good. Okay, the Shach Gimel points out that we're going to learn about these dinim, Pagum and Mashbiach, in Simen Kuf Gimel. But right now we're just focusing on taste, and on whether or not a non-Jew can matter the food for us. V'im ein sham ovid kochavim, if there's no ovid kochavim, lit omo, to taste it, misharim b'shishim, you should measure 60. V'chein im hu min b'mino, and the same thing, if it's min b'mino, that means that the two foods have the same taste. Kevan delechel amikamataima, because it's impossible to taste the iser, since they both have the same taste. Misharim b'shishim. Yeah, you need 60 heter against the iser. 60 times the iser. Okay, so 60 heter against the iser. The Ramah says, ve'ein noagin achshav lismocha v'kochavim. We don't rely on non-Jews to taste the food for us. Obviously, in the case of min be'ein omino. U'misharin akol b'shishin. And we measure everything according to 60. Let's take a look at our shir now. So, page 1. Gemara Hulin, Tzadi Zion, Amud Aleph. At the bottom of the page, you'll see, it says like this. The Amar Rabba, Rabba said, Amar Rabbanan Bataima, the Rabbanan said with taste. This is talking about when Heter and Nisr get mixed up. Or not even Heter and Nisr. It could be Heter and Heter, too. Amar Rabbanan Bataima, V'amar Rabbanan Bekvela, V'amar Rabbanan, V'amar Rabbanan Beshishim. Hilkach min Besheino Mino de Hatera. Therefore, min Be'eno Mino de Hatera. So we said, what's the hetera? Look at your shear. For example, min be'ein omino be'hetera, it's, let's say, truma. Truma. Betaima, you can go get a kohen to taste it. The isura bekfela, here we're talking about a non-Jewish professional cook. Umin b'mino goes with taste, according to the taste, and since we can't taste, we cannot distinguish the two tastes, you always need shishim. Min b'mino, the lake lemikama taima, that would be like nevela, let's say, that would be like nevela and meat, koshera, so you need 60. Min b'mino, the lake lemikama taima, inami, min b'she'eno mino de isura de lechal kfeila b'shishim. Or, min b'eino mino, and there's no kfeila there, you need 60. Okay, I just want to add one point, that min be'eno mino is deraisa. You need 60 deraisa. And min b'mino, you need 60 derabanan. Okay, atu eno mino. Because maybe you'll think that the mino, let's say nevela and kashera, treif and kosher meat, you'll think that the treif meat can't really usher until 60, or you might end up mixing it up with something that's eno mino. So the Rabbanan made a gzeira that you need 60 against it. Okay, let's go to page 2. This is after the taste test. The Beis Yosef brings 4 shitas as to when a non-Jew is believed. The Rashba, the Rush, Tosfos and the Ran, the Rambam. Okay, the Rashba says, the non-Jew does not have to be a kfela, but he must know we are not relying on him. Okay, let's just explain that for a minute. He doesn't have to be a kfela because we see that when the Kohen tasted the food to find out whether it was truma or not, whether the truma fell into it, he was not a kfela. They didn't say he had to be a professional cook. So you see that anybody can taste the food. Doesn't have to be a special mumche, an expert. But he must not know we are relying on him. The Kohen, of course, knows that we can rely on him. We're only talking about a non-Jew. This is called Maslat, Masiach Lefi Tumo. I translated it as speaking incidentally. In other words, you're asking him a question about one thing, and he's going to answer you in another. For example, you're asking him, by the way, does this food have enough sugar in it? And he'll say, okay, whatever he says, yes, no. And he says, well, does it have enough sugar that you don't taste the blood of the meat, because you have a suspicion that the meat wasn't salted? Or does it have enough of a spice that you don't taste the fat, because I hate when my food tastes like fat? Or was that, you know, you're asking him about one thing and he's answering another. So he doesn't know you're relying on him. However, if the non-Jew is a kfela, but if, let's say, you bring in an expert cook who's worried about his reputation and he's worried about his parnasa, then even in a case where he is not maslat, mesiach lefitumo, where you don't ask him incidentally, you can ask him directly, we can rely directly on his words because he values his reputation. He doesn't want to lose his finances. That's the Rashba. So in summary, the Rashba says, or Mesiach Lefitumo, or a kfela. Either or. It doesn't have to be both. The Rush. The non-Jew should be a kfela and maslat. Okay? Means that you have to ask him incidentally, and he should be an expert cook, because you want that in his innocence, he's still a mumche. He's still a good... He can tell the difference, even if you're asking him incidentally. Tosfos in the Ran, number 3, Tosfos in the Ran. The taste tester must be a kfela. He's got only a kfela. That's the biggest point. He's worried to lose his parnasa. Maslat is not a factor. And you don't have to ask him incidentally. Number 4, the Rambam, who is the most makel, he says, any non-Jew can be relied upon, regardless of the fact he knows we're relying on him. And the explanation of the Gemara is that kfela is lav dafka. I mean, it's not exact. When the Gemara said kfela, that was just the word that they use for a cook. Since you're going to ask a cook in general, but you don't have to ask you don't have to dafka go running around looking for a cook. Any non-Jew will do. The Beis Yosef, what's the Beis Yosef hold? The Beis Yosef holds that even though the Rosh says the factor of Kfela alone is not enough to rely on a non-Jew, okay, that's one opinion, still we accept the opinion of the Rashba that a Kfela can be relied on even without Maslat. Why? Since Tosfos and the Ran and the Rambam agree. So you have a Machlokas, Tosfos, Ran, and Rambam against the Rosh. And the Rashba says Kfela can be relied on, so even without Maslat. So you see that a Kfela works. If the non-Jew is not a Kfela, then we can only rely upon him with the additional factor of Maslat. So the Beis Yosef comes up that or Kfela, like the Rush, you could say, Kfela is good, but not like the Rush in the sense that only Kfela, that's the only factor. Kfela or Maslat, one or the other. Okay, now we're up to page 2, where it says Halacha 98.1, and we're going to quote the Gra, number 5, quoting the Gra number 5. Derech Agav, I just want to tell you that this point here, this little chiddush that I'm about to bring out, was a shir that I heard by Rev Yehuda Deri Shlita. He brought it in the Nesive Hora'ah. Okay, it's a very nice point. It brings out all the four shitas. It makes it very easy to remember all four shitas, and it's a nice point. So Gra 5, hey, v'tzarich. Look in the Gra. Rashba, so he says that this din in the up above that says that we can use Mesiach Levitumo as our determining factor for the din in the Mechaber. So the Bera Gra says this is the Rashba. V'cheinirali Meshum Hachi Nakat Kfela, and that's why he talked about Kfela. Okay, let's look now on. At the Gra 5, we're on page 2, in the middle of the page, where it says Halacha 98.1, Gra 5. The Gra asks, if you look at the Gra, he says, V'tzarich, okay, Rashba, he says that the Mechaber is the Rashba, V'cheiner li, Meshum hachidach hatfeil. V'tzarich iyum. We need to check out. We need to look into this. Lama hishmit kfela. Why did the Mechaber leave out the din of kfela? The Mechaber only wrote about Mesiach lefi tumo. Would the Mechaber paskin by kfela? Does he hold that if you get a kfela, you can ask him straight out? The Mechaber didn't say. By the way, it seems like we do rely on kfelas in our world. That's one of the big heterim of milk, maybe. Pot milk, gvinas akum, because you have the pachad of the person, okay, it's not quite kfela, losing his job if the government comes in and finds him mixing up milk. Or you can find any of these experts that come in and tell you what's in the food that they're relying on. Enachinami, it's got a little bit of pachad from the government, but there's still a thing of kfela that we're believing everybody's on the up and up because there's so much money involved. And if they get caught, they're going to lose their money. So that's very similar to kfela. So we seem to rely on this idea of kfela. Okay? Lama hishmit kfela denema. And why do we need to... Why did the Mechaber not write the din of kfela? Denema bekulei alma. V'halach b'derech harambam. And he went, according to the Rambam, Shehishmito. Rambam never talked about Kfela. Okay, why? We said, Avala Rambam Eforish Kfela Lavdafka. Because the Rambam says Kfela Lavdafka, Ela Shuhu Baki Bakarasatam. Bakarasatam. He knows how to talk about taste. He knows to distinguish between taste. Kamasha Kosev Rivash, Simen Resh Pechet, Velo Kabes Yosef. Lechain, Lo Hizkir Mesiach Lefitumo. And the Mechaber never taught, the Rambam never talked about Mesiach Lefitumo. The Sover, the Antarich Meshum, Davide Legiluye. It will be discovered the truth. Avide Legiluye. The truth will be discovered. Velo Dami Lebetzim. Not comparable to the case of Beitim de Sover de Dafka Bisrael, Meshum de Lo Avide Legiluye. Kamokan. And the din of eggs. Now we come to the main point of the, what I think is the main point of the Gra. In the parentheses in the Gra. Elisha Beis Yosef Hichria Midato. The Beis Yosef decided on his own. Kidalad Shitost. There are four opinions. Tosfos, which we said, Kasudaska Kfela. Okay, he's not interested in Kfela, so this can't be Tosfos. We're learning by process of elimination who the Machaber holds by. Can't be Tosfos. Virash, Kasav Kfela, Umesiach Lefitumo. That the Rush wrote, you need both. So we see that the Machaber cannot be the Rush. Virashba pasak the Bechad Mehen. The Rashba said, or Mesiach Fitumo, or Kefela. Virambam pasak the Entrich lo Kefela velo Mesiach Fitumo. And the Rambam said, you don't even need Mesiach Fitumo. Not Kefela, not Mesiach Fitumo. So who does the Mechaber hold by? He holds by the Rashba. And he decided what he said Khan, which is Mesiach Lefitumo. So the only person that holds Mesiach Lefitumo without Kefela is the Rashba. So if that means that the Mechaber holds like the Rashba. So if he holds like the Rashba, so he'll also hold Kefela. And if you look at the Beis Yosef, we said that it seems like Kefela would work. So you have, even though he didn't bring down Kefela here, he gave us a remez through process of elimination. This is all according to the Sefer Nesivei Harav by Yehuda Deri, Shlita, that by process of elimination we can say that the Machaber holds Kefela works. Okay, now we're on page 3. Let's go to page 3. 60 or Kefela. The Beis Yosef brings another Mach Locus Rishonim. Whether we can rely on Kefela if there is less than 60. That's a big point. In other words, let's say Chalev fell into Chalev fell into a pot of meat, and I want to know if I could taste if the chalev is discernible. Now, normally we say, this is just a point of interest, normally we say that food spreads until 60, the taste of food spreads until 60. But that is a chumrah. We don't know for sure all food spreads until the taste of 60. Maybe there's food that spreads until 20, 30, 40. Who says that it spread until 60? Okay, this point is going to be coming up in the next year. How do you know how far that food spread, the taste of that food spread? So we take on a chumrah that it spread until 60. But let's say, an easy example is pots. If I cook, let's say I boil water in a milchix pot, and it was a Ben Yoma milchix pot. Personally, I can't taste the milk in that water when I boil it. Even though the taste went into the milk, into the pot and then came out into the water, I can't. Okay, maybe I'm not an expert taste tester. But yet we say that you need 60 against the bleas of milk. The bleas are the taste of the milk that went into the pot. Maybe you need, we don't know, so you need 60 against the bleus of the milk in the water against, you need 60 in the water against that milk. So we don't know how far bleus spread. It's a chumrah. Rashi says, number one, you cannot rely on kfeila if there is less than 60. Furthermore, even if you have 60, kfeila is required. In other words, when he read the Gemara, he was saying that the pshat of kfeila was after 60. If there is not 60, there's nothing to talk about. A kfeila won't matter the food. So according to Rashi, for sure the blia spread, the taste spreads until 60. It's just a question if it spreads beyond 60. The Ran, if there is 60, a kfeila is not necessary. So the Ran is saying that the maximum blias will spread is until 60. Only if there is less than 60, we need a kfeila. And if there is less than 60, then go get a kfeila to test it. The Rambam, if there is mamashos, which is tangible, mamashos is the iser itself, of iser, like it's dissolved, then we need 60. But if there is only tam, taste, I pulled out the iser, let's say a piece of nevela fell into my yirakot, my vegetables, and I pull out the piece of meat, now all that's left behind is taste. So in that case, since there's no iser there, a kfeila is believed. That was the Ramban, with an N, Ramban. Now the Rambam says a kfeila is always believed, even with 60. A kfeila is required. Okay, according to Rambam, you need to get a kfeila. But if we don't have a kfeila, then it is batal b'shishim. Then you need 60. So according to the Mechaber Paskins, like the Rambam, that the only way to matter this food is to run and get a kfeila. And if you don't have a kfeila, so then we'll rely on the bittul. Number, page 3, now we're on Eidus Isha. So the whole concept, let's just introduce this point for a minute. The whole concept that we can believe a non-Jew is a little bit of a chiddush. Because why are we believing him? Non-Jews can't give Eidus. They can't testify. So how is it that we believe him, Bechlal? The only time that we see a non-Jew being believed for Eidus testimony is by Eidus Isha, which in and of itself is also a big chiddush. Let's say you want to get married, or there's a marriage, and you bring two non-Jews. Let's say you bring two non-Jews to bring the to testify that this couple did chuppah and kedushin. Would you believe the two non-Jews? No. Can't. They can't be Eidus. Two non-Jews come and they say, Poloni swore, used God's name in vain, swore, did everything, you got to kill him. Would you believe the two non-Jews? No. But yet, they're saying one non-Jew comes and says, I was with the husband of this woman. I was with him in war, and he fell down. He got killed, and I'm just bringing you his last possessions. So the woman is now no longer an aguna. She can get remarried, and that is you're believing the non-Jew for testimony that husband died. And there's no mikamalaya. Well, no one's sending somebody to dig up the grave. It happened in another Medina. No one's checking it out. We just believe this man, this non-Jew, Mesiach Levitumo, in fact, I don't even know if it's Mesiach Levitumo. You believe him, Yeah, it is a Masech Fituma. You're bringing, you're believing him that the woman's husband died. Okay? That's Adis. So you would think Kol Shekain, you should believe him for Adis in a case of Heter and Kosher. But we see that you don't. You don't believe him for Adis. You don't believe a non-Jew for Adis in anything else except for this very strange case of Adis Isha. By the way, the reason why we believe him is because the Rabbanan were made killed by an Aguna to accept such a testimony, because we don't want the woman to sit as an Aguna. Should we allow her to get remarried? And that's a whole other procedure, how that happens according to the Din. Okay, the Shach says three possible reasons why we believe Maslat in our case. Okay, normally you cannot believe a non-Jew in testimonies, but we're going to have three reasons why you can believe the non-Jew in our case. Number one, Tam Kikar is Asr Midrabanan. We don't hold this, but maybe you could say, because there are people that do say Tam Kikar is the Rabbanan. For example, Rashi says Tam Kikar is the Rabbanan. And therefore, we can be lenient. However, the Shach says this only helps according to those who hold that Min B'Shein Omino is Asr Mid Rabbanan. However, according to the Mechaber, Min B'Shein Omino is Asr Mid Raisa. And therefore, this answer doesn't help. So we're looking for another reason, a second reason. Ein Itchazik Isura. There is no previous status quo of the Isser. When the Chalev fell into the Taruvus, into the pot, how do we know that it gave taste? Remember I said a little earlier, maybe it only gave taste to 20, maybe it only gave taste to 30. How do I know it spread until 60? I don't know. So I have a chazaka that the pot was kosher until proven otherwise. We do not assume the worst. So therefore, why should I assume that the chalev gave taste into this pot? The food was kosher before the chalev fell in, and although we may suspect that it is now usher, which is why the Jew himself can't eat it, how come the Jew can't say, well, it tastes like chalev or not? Okay, because we have a gerusa, we have a pretty good reason to say that it's usher, but we don't know for sure. There is no clear proof that it is usher. Therefore, if the non-Jew tells us that there is no taste of chalev, he is not changing the status of the food. So it's not testimony. All it is, he's keeping the food on its chazaka. He's not giving any testimony. However, the Shach says that Ein Itchazik Isura only helps by an Isser Derabanan. But by an Isser D'Raisa, there is no Chazaka D'Yisura. Even if there is no Chazaka D'Yisura, Maslat is not believed. That's according to the Shach. In other words, Maslat, Masiach L'Pitumo, does not break a Chazaka. If you have two things, a Chazaka, that, let's say, for example, meat was not salted. And meat, which is an Isser D'Rabanan, if it's cooked without salting it, we're mesupak if the meat was salted, and it falls into a taruvis. So you don't believe Maslat to tell you that the non-Jew salted the meat. Why? Because there's a chazaka that blood is in the meat, and even though that after the meat is cooked it's an Isser D'Rabanan, still Maslat is not stronger than an Isser D'Rabanan. The Taz argues about that. But the Shach doesn't. And Kol Shekain here, not necessarily Kol Shekain, but it's even a stronger reason here to usher something, because you're dealing with an Isser D'Raisa. And an Isser D'Raisa, even if there's no Chazaka D'Isura, there's no Chazaka D'Isura in our case, because the path that the Chela fell into started out as mutter, so there's no chazaka d'yisura. Still, Maslat is not believed. So he argues with that point. Again, the first two was maybe Tom Kiker is the Rabbanan. That's why we can believe Maslat. The second one is Eini Chazik Isura. There's no Chazaka in our case that the pot is Aser. Still, that doesn't work because the Taz doesn't hold by that opinion. And he says the Machaber doesn't hold by that opinion. Number three. Now, this is a little bit better. Afshar Lamikaim Alea Demilsa. We can establish this fact by checking it out ourselves. In other words, once the non-Jew tells us that the food does not taste like chalev, there's no taste of chalev at all, we will eat it. And if we eat it and we taste that it has chalev in it, well, he's in big trouble. I don't know what we're going to do to him, but he's in big trouble. So it's not that he's giving testimony, but he's telling us a fact. Whether or not this food tastes like chalev or not is irregardless of what he says. Either it does or it doesn't. So it's different than a wedding, let's say, using the Akum, the non-Jews, as witnesses, where witnesses are part of the actual Maisa. And you don't have a wedding. If two people get married without witnesses, it's not a marriage. So your witnesses are an integral part. So here, the food tastes like chalev or it doesn't taste like chalev. It doesn't depend on what the non-Jew says. So his testimony is only revealing a fact. If he tells us that the food has no taste of chalev, we can eat it. Since he knows that these facts can easily be confirmed or denied, he will be afraid to lie. The Taz adds, when witnesses are required, non-Jews are not believed, even with maslat, except in the case of Eidus Isha. However, Isser v'Heter is not a subject that needs witnesses. It is only discovering the facts, and therefore, non-Jews are believed, even if they are maslat. And according to the Taz, we said that the maslat can even break an chazaka derabanan. Chazaka that's an Isser derabanan. Okay, we're going to now explain that point. Maslat. There seems to be an apparent contradiction between the Mechaber here in 98.1, that's where we are. Okay, I'm on page 4 under the heading of Maslat, and the Mechaber in 69.10. Why does the Mechaber here rely on Maslat, but in Hilchas Malicha we find that the Shach, Samech Tet Mem Beis, 69.42, says that the Mechaber does not rely on Maslat, and the Ramah holds that according to the Mechaber an added factor of cleanliness is required. Okay, let me just explain that. Over there in Samech Tet, we have the maid cooked some meat, and it's a question if she washed off the meat or not. So if she did not wash off the meat, you have blood on the surface of the meat. We're going to ask her, did you wash off the meat? Okay, that's called maslat. No. We're going to ask her something incidentally. Maslat is that we asked her incidentally. We're going to say to her, we're going to talk about her procedure of cooking. And while we're talking about the procedure of cooking, we're going to say to her, oh, by the way, do you think the salt on the meat affected, you know, did you have to add more salt than what was on the meat in order to make this food taste good? So she'll say, oh, I didn't even use the salt that was on the meat. I washed it off. So that's my slot. So we want to know, did the maid wash off the meat or not? Or you say, how do you think the blood that was on the surface of the meat affected the food? Blood, I washed it off. You ask her incidentally, not did you cook the blood with the meat? Did you wash it off before you cooked it? You don't ask her like that. You try and trick her. Okay? So there we say that according to the Shach, we do not believe maslat. Right? We need an extra factor. That's called cleanliness. Kapte anakyusa. Non-Jews are very makpid on their cleanliness. Okay, for whatever reason, that's a whole other story. Furthermore, in Siman 137:6, the Mechaber holds that maslat does not apply to the laws of Hagalas Kelim. Okay, over there, that's a chazaka deraisa. The kelim were treif. Now, if you want to tell me also that, well, if there maybe the kelim are eno benyomas and it's a derabanan, it's an iser derabanan. So there you see also in a case of an iser derabanan, that maslat doesn't apply. So we see maslat does not break a chazaka of iser derabanan in the case of the meat and in the case of kashrin kelim. The answer is it depends on if the iser is midiraisa or midirabanan. Okay, if it's midirabanan and there's no chazaka, so then the shach will say that you can believe maslat. But if it's an iser midiraisa, and even if there's no chazaka, maslat does not apply. Or if it's an iser derabanan and there is a chazaka, maslat is not strong enough. Next heading. Maslat versus iser midirabanan. Okay, I'm going to now repeat what I just said. In the case of an iser derabanan without a chazaka, according to everyone, maslat is believed. The Shach 137:19 says, that's in Hagalas Kelim over there, explains that according to the Mechaber, if there is a Chazaka deraisa, the Isura, Chazaka de Isura, then Maslat cannot break the Chazaka. The case of the maidservant and the Kelim are both cases of a known Isser that needs to be negated. Therefore, we cannot rely solely on maslat. You need an extra reason. Okay, so in Siman Samech Tet, the extra reason is that Jews are non-Jews are kate anakyusa. They're extra clean. However, it is not clear from the Ramah whether maslat on its own is strong enough to break a chazaka by an iser derabanan. Perhaps it needs an additional reason to give it strength. According to the Mishpat Zahav, there's a machlokus between the Shach and the Taz. Okay? And you see the Mishpat Zahav over there in Samech Tet, Chaf Dalet. Number one. Okay, the Taz. Let's talk about the Taz. The Taz says, Maslat is stronger than a chazaka in the case of an iser derabanan. Therefore, maslat is believed without an additional reason. Over there in Samech Tet, page 5. Number 2. The Shach. The Shach holds that if there is a chazaka, we do not rely on maslat alone, even though the iser is only midirabanan. It needs an additional factor. Therefore, according to the Shach, in the case of the maidservant over there in Samech Tet, Sif Yud, Maslat is believed because of the additional factor that non-Jews are makpid anakyusa, very careful about cleanliness. However, B, in the case of Hagalas Kelim, 137:19, maslat is not believed because there is no additional factor. Page 5, maslat versus iser deraisa. The Mechaber holds maslat is believed by an iser deraisa if it is Efshar lemika mala. In other words, we're not believing this is non-Jew to establish a fact. The fact is the fact. But we're using his innocence to give me an extra edge whether or not I can eat this food or not. Obviously, after he tells me that it doesn't taste like chalev and I taste the chalev, I can't eat it. But at least I can say, I'm allowed now to eat it. It gives me a reason to eat it, to at least to go forward. The Ramah says, the custom today is not to rely on non-Jews, therefore we always need 60. Rabbi Akiva Eger says it's difficult to understand why the Ramah does not rely on a non-Jew in some way, either kfeila or masla. He answers by saying that the Ramah is strict, is following the strict opinion of all Rishonim. In that case, kfeila and maslat are a contradiction, since kfeila means that one must know in order to give an expert opinion, and maslat means that one must not know. So how can he give an expert opinion? It's a contradiction. How can you give an expert opinion if you're not supposed to know I'm asking your opinion? Therefore, there is no way to rely on a non-Jew. So the Mata Yonatan asks the question on Rabbi Akiva Eger, and he says, why can't you ask two non-Jews their opinion? One, a kfeila. You ask him, incidentally, what does the food taste like? In some incidental way. No, a kfeila, you ask him directly, what does the food taste like? And one maslat, you ask the other one incidentally. If they both agree that the food is good, there's no taste of chalev, one straight out and one in a incidental way, so then you should be able to eat the food, according to the Mata Yonatan, and according to he leaves it as a question on Rabbi Akiva Eger. I just want to try and answer the question that perhaps the Ramah is taking part of Rashi. He's holding that part of Rashi that Isser will Oser until 60. And he's worried that the taste spreads minimally until 60. According to that, so therefore you can't get a non-Jew to taste the food. Okay, after 60, if I don't have a non-Jew around, so I can rely on the Bittel. Rashi's not telling you have to go running around to get a Jew. I'm not sure about that. But one thing you can say is that maybe he says that he's worried about until 60. Okay, however, there's another point, though, that we know that there's a whole shaila whether or not you can rely on a Jew in less than 60. That we'll talk about later on. Halach lamaisa. The Kaf HaChaim brings down that even Sfardim, who hold like the Mechaber, normally hold like the Mechaber, in this case, they'll hold like the Ramah, and do not rely on a taste test of an Anjou. Therefore, all Isurim are measured with 60. All Isurim, you need 60. Okay, page 6. The Jewish taste tester. Okay, we'll talk about it. The Jewish taste tester. The Ramah said that we don't rely on a non-Jew. We infer from that a Jewish taste tester would be believed. Otherwise, the Ramah should say that we don't rely on a taste test at all. We're on page 6. Okay, the Jewish taste tester. This is providing the Jew is allowed to taste the food, as in the case of a radish cut with a meat knife, or truma that fell into the chulin that could be tasted by a kohen. However, the Gilyon Marsha brings the Shach in Simin 96.5, Tzadivav Hey, who says that only if it was already cooked to rely on a Jew, if he said that there was no taste. Belechatchila, I'm skipping the parentheses. Belechatchila, we do not ask a Jew to see if there is a test, if there is a taste. In other words, the case over there is a person cooked, let's say, a radish that was cut with a meat knife or a milk knife, and he cooked it with the opposite food. So, we want to know, did that radish taste like milk or meat before it was cooked with the other food? If it tasted like milk or meat, then it will usher the food. If it didn't taste like milk or meat, so then, or let's say at least the radish will be usher. If it didn't taste like milk or meat, so then the radish is mutter. So you go to the guy who is cooking, and you ask him, by the way, when you cut up the radishes, did you taste one of them before you threw it in? You ask him direct, it's a Jew. And he says, yeah. Did it taste like milk or meat? He says, no. So now everything is mutter. But you can't ask him lechatchila before he throws the radishes into the food. You can't ask him lechatchila, taste this radish and tell me if it tastes like milk or meat. And according to what you're saying, we'll determine whether or not I can put the radish into the food. You can't do that. That's only bidyavad. Once the food got mixed up, the radish got mixed up, you can go back and correct the problem by asking him what it tasted like. Next subject. Tongue tasting. How do you taste the food? That's the next problem. The first Drisha in this siman says it is usher to taste meat in order to check if it is salted, even if only using the tongue, because this is like eating the meat. Okay, so he says tasting the meat with the tongue is like eating the meat. The Taz, I guess it's like saying, as long as you're ingesting the food in some way, so then that's called eating. You're getting some kind of taste from the Isser. The Taz argues and brings a proof from the din of gallbladder, that in the case of a Suffolk Isser Deraisa, that's the gallbladder, it is mutter to test by only using the tongue. You could taste the liver, whether or not the gallbladder has been removed. You could taste it. Because it's such a mar, it's such a bitter taste, that you'll be able to taste it. Okay? Then you know whether or not the food is mutter. However, in our case, tasting with the tongue does not help to solve the suffix, because in order to properly ascertain the taste of the food, it must be eaten. In other words, our food, I'm not going to taste the chalev in the taruvas unless I actually bring it into my mouth. Okay, perhaps even into my throat. The Shach and the Prima Gadim are machmir and do not even allow tasting with the tongue in an Isser de Rabbanan. Okay, so you're not allowed to even taste the meat to see if it was salted, since even in an Isser de Rabbanan. Okay, you might taste the salting on top of the meat, the blood coming out of the meat, and that's an Isser de Rabbanan. Salted blood is an Isser de Rabbanan. And therefore you're not even allowed to taste that. Next paragraph. Chewing Isure the Rabbanan. The Tzemach Tzedek permits food that is only Asur mid Rabbanan to be chewed and then spat out. Big kula. The Mishmas Zahav argues that it is Asur to do so except in the case of Borit. Borit is a certain soap that was made with chalev. I think you'd add lime to it and such. and it has such a bad taste that even a dog would not eat it. So it's completely mutter. So you could taste borate. If borate fell into your food, you could taste the food to see if it tastes like borate, even though the borate has chalav in it. He concludes that even by borate, the Pri Chadash argues, and therefore, one who is strict is praiseworthy. However, even according to the Tanakh Tzedek, chewing is not enough to ascertain the taste of Isser. He says, even if you allow chewing, still that's not enough. You have to swallow it. In order to ascertain that the taste of it, in other words, to ascertain that there is a taste of Isser, it must be swallowed. That was Mishpat Zahav, number 2. Page 7. How to measure 60. The Pischei Tshuva brings the Tshuva's Shar Ephraim that we measure with size and not weight. Measure with size and not weight. Okay, so if you have popcorn or a bamba, you know, or a potato chip, you don't go according to weight, you go according to size. He then brings, in the name of the Chinuch Beis Yehuda, who elaborates and says that if the Heter and Isser are the same min, let's say two popcorns or two potato chips or two bambas, if neither one has more airspace than the other, we can measure with the same, we can measure the size or weight. Can you either... So popcorn and popcorn, bamba and bamba, or even something that's a little heavier, let's say something a little heavier, which would be a piece of meat with other meat, you go by size or weight. And if one has more airspace than the other, then we should measure by weight. Okay, that, in other words, something very light. Let's say an egg that was fluffed up, or let's say you have whipped cream, but you have the same amount of ingredients and it's not fluffed up, you should measure by weight. However, if the heter and the isser are two different minim, then we should press out the airspace and measure with the and measure the size. Another, so you if you have a bamba that was or a marshmallow that was the usher, you smush out all the air. Measure with size. Okay. Otherwise, you measure by min bamino. You measure by weight or size if they're the same. But if one is one has a lot of air and the other one doesn't, so then you have to squeeze out all the air. Okay, now let's look at the review questions. Review questions. Explain the following concepts. Min b'mino, min b'eino mino. Okay, so min b'mino, we said, is two of the same. Min b'eino mino is two different ones. Two different, one isser and one heter. Two different foods or two different items. Doesn't have to always be food. Number two. Also explain the following concepts. Kfela, taste, and 60. So kfela is a taste tester. It doesn't have to be dafka, according to some people, it doesn't have to be dafka, an expert taste tester. Taste, and the taste is certainly in the case of heter, that I have a way of mastering the food by a Kohen coming in and tasting the food. And there's if I don't taste the Isser, then it's mutter. Or you say, taste, if I do have a kfela, or I do mesiach chafitumo, so I can matter the food with less than 60. 60 is if I don't have a kfela around, or I don't have a non-Jew around. What is Mishul Maslat? Speaking incidentally, can you give an example? I'm sure that all of you can think of an example. What are number four? What are four opinions concerning a non-Jew taste tester? So we said that there's the that you look back up into the shear. That was what we used by process of elimination, those four opinions. The Rashba, the Rush, Tosfos, and the Ran, and the Rambam. Okay, the Rashba, we said, this or that, Masech Fitumo or Maslat. The Rush is Daf Kfela. Tosfos and Aran is Kfela is the factor, not Maslat. And the Rambam says any old man-Jew will do. Okay, number five. Does Rashi believe in non-Jew? Yes. In what case? When there's more than 60. Does a Mechaber hold that we believe a Kfela? What is your proof? So we said process of elimination. Number seven. Does the Rama hold that you need that a Kfela works? Well, he doesn't care, does he? It's only 60 or not. Not interested in Kfela. Number eight. Why does the Mechaber rely on Maslat in our case, even though the law states clearly that we rely on Maslat only in the case of Eidus Isha? So the Shach said three reasons, and the Taz added a reason. But the bottom line is Efshar Lamika Malav. That really seems to be the one that the Shach holds by. Number nine. Why doesn't the Rama rely on Maslat? Are there other opinions, other options to his psak? Okay, the Rama doesn't rely on Maslat, so we said, in the name of Rabbi Akiva Eger, because it's a stira. Maslat, he's worried about all the opinions, and since there's a stira, or we can say, like I added about Rashi. Are there other options to his psak? So that was the question of the who was it? The Matthew Yonatan. Okay. Number ten. Lamaisa, do we rely on Maslat? No. Number 11. Okay, why don't we rely on Maslat? We said. Number 11. Can we rely on the average Jew to determine if there is a taste of meat in the tznon, which is a radish? Or does he have to be kfila? What is your proof? So we said that the average Jew can be relied on for taste, but that's only bidi evid. And we said over there in Tzadi Vav, that's by the case of the tznon, the radish, one, if it's already cooked. We can rely on him bidi evid. Number 12. Is it a mutter to taste food that may be usher to Rabbanan without chewing it? So we said that according to the Shach and the Prima Gadim, even tasting the food by the tongue is usher. The Taz masters it in certain cases where it's going to be an obvious taste. And can it be chewed and spit out? Some people say it can be chewed and spit out. Who is at the Tamek Tzedek? Tamek Tzedek. If it's an Isser or a Bunin. Which type of Isser can be tasted with the tongue? And we will not worry, it will come to be eaten. So we said that was one with a very strong taste, that you don't have to actually put it in your mouth to taste. That's the end of the shir. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, please call or write. Have a good day.